We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to an express edition of the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. What's up, Jack?
Nick, how's your heart, mate? Have you had any palpitations over the past, you know, 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy one. Obviously, Spencer Dinwiddie coming up clutch with that game-winning three, 120-119. And like you said, it was like a heartache game because like the Nets started off so strong and then they had disappointment. They started to lose that energy. And then there was a couple opportunities at the end where you're like, oh, they're going to blow this one. It's going to be another loss, 4-game losing streak. But Spencer pulled it out, man. Super clutch.
Yeah, I actually thought when I was seeing it, I felt oddly confident, like a sense of like calm was over me. I'm like, Spencer's done this for us before.
Against
like,
Detroit.
Why can't he do it for us? He's done it against Detroit. He's done it against Cleveland. He hates his old team. He wants to put in their face. He's always going to be a piston killer. You know, he did it against Drummond last time, and he did it against Drummond this time, but this time it wasn't inside the paint. It was on the arc with that sidestep three, which was, I think that needs to be immortalized with Jared Allen's block. And, I mean, there's just great moments this season. It's good. They're a bipolar team right now, our Nets, but I think all the naysayers and the haters need to give it credit where credit's due because it was an awesome performance from our guys, despite the fact that, you know, we probably could have done better and we started off well and we're still up and down through the four quarters. But Nick, what were the takeaways for you?
You know, Jack, we kind of talked about it in the last Brooklyn Buzz. We were looking for the team to grind out wins. You know, shots aren't falling. Yeah. They didn't shoot well from three. You know, 12 of 38 at one point. They had like 5 of 25 from three. We wanted them to grind out wins. We wanted to see Spencer step up when, you know, D'Lo wasn't playing well, like in the Knicks game. And what did he do? Dinwiddie stepped up, 25 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 9 from three, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Not only did he have that clutch three to win the game, he also had a big 4-point play in that fourth quarter that was really huge. It felt like it kind of turned the momentum a little bit, gave the Nets a little bit more confidence. But overall, like you said, Jack, you know, it was a great start. That bad finish that first quarter carried to the second quarter, into the third quarter, fourth quarter. They started to do that grinding thing. Obviously, rebounding was still an issue. Andre Drummond had 23 rebounds, 10 offensive. And obviously, some of that was Jared Allen and Ed Davis being in foul trouble.
Yeah, I think that certainly wasn't. I mean, Jared Allen, just before being fouled out, had an awesome 3-point play. He gave us some really nice use with Spencer Dinwiddie in that final quarter to force it to OT. A really nice performance from him. But yeah, 2 fouls early in the first sort of made it a little, he was playing sort of catch up, so to speak. But, you know, when we have Ed Davis out there, I mean, if Kenneth Reed's not going to see any minutes, it's going to be unlikely after seeing what happened with his two front court teammates. But Davis is just an absolute force on the rebounds. Despite the fact that Drummond puts up his 2020 nights and he's done it more than anyone since 2012-13, I saw the Yes Network broadcast say that some of the time, as long as they're not winning the games, it doesn't necessarily matter. And for us, I still think that Allen and Drummond, Allen still came up on his own and Davis still did his work. So they sort of nullified each other. And I think Blake was huge in that OT. But before that, you know, he was nullified by Rondé to an extent as well. But what were your thoughts on that sort of front court battle?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it almost kind of balanced out in the sense where Rondé was playing at the five against Drummond a little bit. They maybe were giving up a couple more boards, but RHJ was able to kind of attack them a little bit, get them in that pick and roll, catch them in between, use his little hesitation game. You're definitely seeing him find his rhythm, and that was a great point, Jack. You know, you saw Rondé put on some really nice defense on Blake. A couple plays it didn't work, but he did a great job and made the shot tough.
Now, Nick, talk me through the final couple of plays, the Spencer three, and then the Spencer, when he gets switched on to Blake, the absolutely clutch defensive play. What's going through your mind as this is sort of unfolding?
Yeah, and, you know, going first with offensive play, Spencer hitting the three, you see him get the switch on Andre Drummond. You're like, all right, he's going to drive. Drummond was playing pretty far off him, and like Spencer said in his press conference after the game, you know, he felt like he had enough room. All he had to do was focus and get that shot up. And, you know, I had an irrational confidence. We've seen Dinwiddie hit a lot of clutch threes over the last week, you know, a lot of big shots with the time with the Nets already. And we know, like you mentioned, he kind of killed Detroit last year. He killed Drummond. So to have that, the Nets were up, I think, by the time Spencer got switched on to Blake, it was about 7 seconds left in the game. Did a great job eating the post move to kind of slow him down. And in that mid-range game, he was fading away, turning around like a step-back type almost. And Spencer was right there with the contest. And it was just a hell of a play for Spencer Dinwiddie in those last final seconds on both sides of the floor.
Oh, definitely. It was, I advocated right after the game, let's re-sign him. Just give him the contract. Give him the contract now, Sean. But he proved that. You know, there's plenty of guys who are still iffy on D'Lo. We are still a little bit. We know the talent that he has. But if we were to re-sign Spencer Dinwiddie to a Josh Richardson-style contract, you know, he can't earn a ridiculous amount right now because of his status and his contract going forward in restricted free agency. Him and LeVert as a building block going forward, adding Shabazz Napier as a sort of another piece, you know, I don't necessarily hate that at all. Spencer's proven it, and I think his worst performances are a lot better than his worst performances were last season. So I think he's shown a level of maturity, and he's still very young in his NBA maturity as well, but he's earning his keep. And, you know, I think, I can't remember who it was that tweeted it, but is there a person who's playing better than on a minimum contract than Spencer Dinwiddie ever has? I think it's a resounding no, because he's been absolutely insane the past two seasons for our Nets.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I guess the only person that comes to mind, the guy who just dropped 50 points, Derrick Rose, I think is playing on veteran minimum. But
yes, sir.
Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, obviously he's been huge. And like you said, it kind of gives the Nets some insurance if the whole D'Lo thing doesn't work out. You know, the verdict's still out on there. It's still early in the season. The inconsistency and the ice cold, you know, shooting nights are definitely a concern. And like you said, Spencer's a guy that is consistent. And one thing I'd like to see from him more, which we talked about, is him just consistently being aggressive and attacking the rim. And I have in my notes here, attacking Spencer Dinwiddie is so much better than anything else he does, because he gets that one step on the defender, gets to the rim. He doesn't always get the call. Sometimes it's just setting up his teammate for a three. And I know there was one portion at the end of regulation, the Nets had four shots to, you know, either tie it or take the lead, and they missed. And a lot of that was thanks to Spencer Dinwiddie setting up his teammates.
Yeah, and I added him the other day, put in that Knicks game. Obviously, there weren't many plays that were nice, but Spencer Dinwiddie had a nice sort of dunk, and he forced it right towards the rim, and he responded to me. So Spencer, maybe it's the interaction that I've given him that gave him it gave him the confidence he needed, Nick. I feel like that was in the back of his head. There was definitely no doubt about that. But it was awesome to go. No, ridiculously, it was a nice little moment. Even better than Nets Daily and the Brooklyn Nets official account, because knows that Spencer's watching is pretty cool. But it was an awesome performance from him. Little sort of tidbits as well. Joe Harris, Jared Dudley, really nice night from them as well, don't you think, Nick?
Yeah, no, definitely your boy Joe Harris. I thought one thing he did really well, other than knocking down the threes, he was aggressive attacking the rim. And the other Nets can definitely take note of this, even sometimes missing the shot, but attacking strong, getting the foul call sometimes and putting pressure on the defense. I just love what Joe did. And Jared Dudley, you know, he missed a couple shots, but he definitely had some nice veteran moments. Also nice to see Caris LeVert bounce back, 19 points, 7 of 16 from the field, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. And as bad as D'Lo played offensively, you know, the shooting was cold. He did have a couple steals himself, getting his hands in there, reading the defense a little bit. There was a couple really nice defensive sequences from the Nets. It just wasn't consistent throughout. You know, they had the mental mistakes, defensive lapses, the mysteries, the inconsistent energy, but they grinded out the win.
And that's what we've wanted from them. Yeah, Caris LeVert, Nick, obviously he played 40 minutes, one less than my boy Joey Buckets. What were your thoughts on his, you know, sort of bounce back night? Plus 13 led the team in plus minus.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you could see he looked more confident getting back in the paint, forcing more some pressure on the defense. And I think the defense is kind of sending more attention his way now, so he's going to have to adapt to that. The one, I think, concern probably from Caris would be that three-point shot is a little bit off. He's been kind of hot and cold. At least he can kind of drive to the rim a little bit more, so he doesn't have to rely on it, but something to keep an eye on.
I think at least he's showing confidence from there, which is what you want to see from your guy. Other, like, you know, if you're comparing it to, say, like a Markel Fultz, where he's got the ability, he's shown the ability before, but he's not taking it. You'd rather at least feign confidence. And I think Kyle Silva still has that confidence in himself. And I'm sure he's going to have his nights where he goes like 1 of 5, 0 of 5 or whatever, but he still can impact the game in so many other ways. Like his ability to drive and his control under the rim. Like he's got this pump fake game, that quick first step. It's you know, something to behold. What
nice
I really
patience
like is
too.
Absolutely awesome patience. Yeah, I think there's so many great qualities that he's shown this season. And, you know, to get him at a pick 20, lots of other Nets Twitter was marveling at him for the value that we got out of him. And obviously, it speaks volumes to our player development system headed by Coach Kenny, which is a nice segue, Nick, because I like the coaching performance overall from Coach Kenny. I mean, Shabazz Napier was cold. I remember chatting to you throughout the game, and he just wasn't an impact at all. So he just gave all these minutes to Spencer Dinwiddie, and I like that sort of decision. What did you think of Coach Kenny's night?
Yeah, I thought it was a great performance. I saw people kind of complaining about him in the middle of the game, and I thought a lot of it was just on the players energy-wise, not being tough, kind of what we saw in that Knicks game, and just not hitting shots. You know, he made the adjustment. He went with Rondé a little bit, took a chance there. It started to work out, and I think it kind of got the Nets back in the game. And obviously benching D'Lo in that fourth quarter and going with Dinwiddie, I think if you play D'Lo in that situation, obviously being cold all night, you're going to see Spencer, you know, you're not going to get the W, and Spencer's the one who got you the W. So I think that was a strong move from Kenny. And not many coaches would do that with, you know, all the investment into D'Lo. So I think Kenny did a great job. And there was a little bit of talk at the press conferences too, the quotes after the game with the players, that Kenny got after them at halftime and kind of energized them a little more, because like I said, that second quarter was really bad.
Yeah, we can't deny one thing about Coach Kenny is the passion that he has for making this team great. He is working, you know, nights and days, you know, hours and hours on end, despite the fact that he garners plenty of criticism from Nets fans and from us every now and then. You can't deny the fact that, you know, he's putting in and he's doing what he thinks is best for this team going forward. We haven't mentioned Alan Crabb yet, Nick, but I like the fact that Alan Crabb was cold. He plays Joe Harris 40-plus minutes, 41 minutes on the night. So it's just going, we've talked about the fact that we wanted to ride the guys a little bit more. You know, Joe Harris, 41 minutes. Caris LeVert, 40 minutes. Jared Dudley, 38 minutes, because he's that sort of veteran presence out there. I think that he's doing all the things that we've sort of wanted from him a little bit.
Yeah, and like we said, too, is we wanted to see him kind of tell guys to be more aggressive like Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm sure he probably did, putting him in bigger minutes like you said, too. Same thing with Joe Harris and LeVert. And, you know, moving forward, I'm sure we're going to even see more creative things from him when he gets a full roster. Damari Carroll, Rodion's back. Like, I think that'll make a difference, too. Obviously, right now, he still has some things to work with, but not as much as he'll have in his toolbox when everybody's healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see this next season unfold. It's, you know, they always say there's plenty of turning points throughout the season in a long marathon that it is. But this feels like a turning point for us, and it's hopefully for the better. But was there anything else you wanted to chuck in before we finish off this one? Obviously, we'll be back after the Rockets game and plenty more going forward. But anything about this Pistons performance that we might have missed?
Just what you just said, Jack, I think this was a real turning point for the season. Obviously, it's super early, but I think a loss here in another close game would have hurt, especially against Detroit, already losing to them in the first game of the season. Getting this win will definitely help build confidence for the upcoming match with the Rockets, a team that's really struggling, and maybe the Nets could capitalize.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me, mate. And let's go, Nets. We're going to build on this, lads.
Yeah, it was a great game, Jack. Always fun talking Nets. Make sure you check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com-radio, and YouTube.